Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
The Scriptures contain many truths, as you well know. They tell us an accurate history. They tell us the truths of all time. They foretold prophecy. Thousands of years have passed, and so some of it has been fulfilled, some still waiting to be fulfilled. The Bible tells us proper conduct. The Bible tells us Christ's first coming. The Bible tells us of His second coming. The Bible tells us that there are seven dispensations. And some of you say, what's a dispensation? A dispensation, in simple terms, is a way that God used to reach man. If you think about the story, which is a true story, in the Garden of Eden, God reached man by literally walking and talking with Adam and Eve. And He literally interacted with them. He walked through the garden and said, Adam and Eve, where are you? That was the first way that God used to try to reach man. He walked and talked. It failed. Eve took of the fruit. Adam took of the fruit. Sin entered this world. God changed His technique. And as you read the Scriptures, you do not see, and thus began. You have to study Scripture and start to pay attention. How is God working with people? And it unfolds itself. The next thing that we see is God used a conscience. Okay, you won't listen to me if I walk and talk with you. Will you listen to me through your conscience? And Cain slew Abel. And God had to flood the world because it got so bad. Noah and his family was spared. And God said, okay, let's try then working through a human government dividing people. And He told the three sons of Noah to spread out throughout the earth. Go three different ways. They did not. They stayed on the plain of Shinar, and they built the Tower of Babel. Okay, this one didn't work, so God came down and confounded the languages. He got His division. He then said, well, then I'll work through a promise. If I work through Abraham, I will use you greatly, Abraham, and his descendants. Well, that didn't work. They ended up down in Egypt, where they got into Egyptian bondage. Then God said, okay, how about if I raise up a Moses? And I will use Moses. And there, once you are delivered, there on Mount Sinai, God literally took with His finger and wrote in the rock two tablets of stone and said, here's what I want you to do. Will you listen to me if I write it in the rocks? And when Jesus Christ came to this earth, they cried, crucify Him. Okay, you won't listen to me that way. And so here we are today. This thing called the church came to be. We're not under those other dispensations. God is saying, okay, will you listen to me if I convict you through a Holy Spirit? First of all, your need of a Savior. And then once you're saved, then will you listen to the Holy Spirit to lead your life accordingly? Watch the news and tell me if this is working. And soon, Jesus Christ will come in the clouds and will snatch the church out of here, and there will be what's called a seven-year tribulation. If you want the technical, it's Daniel's 70th week. You can read about it in Daniel chapter 9, and of course it's covered also in Revelation. It's a time coming on this earth. The church will not be there. If you read it in Daniel chapter 9, it is a time upon thy people. Who were Daniel's people? The Jew. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob's is Israel, the Jew. The church is not going to be into the tribulation. It is the 70th week of Daniel. Well, then what happens? At the end of the tribulation, Jesus Christ comes back, His second coming, this time on a white horse as a victorious king. And He sets up His throne there on Jerusalem, and he will rule for 1,000 years with a rod of iron. And what happens at the end of the 1,000 years? Satan gathers together another band to rebel. And that time the fight is over and God says, enough is enough. I have tried 7 ways to reach mankind. He has taken away every excuse. Well, Lord, if you would have walked and talked with us, I did. Well, if you would have used our conscience, I did. Well, if you would have worked through a human government, I did. Well, if you would have worked through Abraham and a promise, I did. Would you please write it down in stone? I did. Would you convict us with the Holy Spirit? I did. Will you rule and reign in Jerusalem with an iron rod? I did. And God has taken away every excuse of man. We are rebellious by nature. Well, tonight my goal is to talk about how does God expect holiness from us in the church age? Because if we don't fully understand this, guess what? You're not going to do it. Simply because of ignorance, not because of desire. Let me just take a minute too and reflect on this church age. We are what is called in Scripture a mystery. It's not a mystery like you watch a mystery movie or read a mystery novel. It's a mystery in that it wasn't revealed. You can read the Old Testament, you will not find the church, per se, as what we know now. The word church actually is ecclesia, and it simply means a called out assembly. But for us, it is a time that God is working by convicting us through the Holy Spirit. We're not under the law. We're not under the promise. We can learn from them. They have certain applications that we can glean. Paul wrote and he said, all Scripture is profitable for doctrine and reproof. So we cannot ignore what we learn in the other dispensations, but we must remember we are in the dispensation of the church or age of grace. God used Paul mightily to open up and to reveal that age of grace. It was a mystery, and in Ephesians he tells us and he writes, it's a mystery. It was not known. When you read the book of Acts, please keep in mind it is an incredible time of transition. Jesus Christ ascended into heaven there on the Mount of Olives, and Paul will not be saved until Acts chapter 9. And in that time, the church is coming up and the time of the law is coming down. And so when you read Acts, you're going to go, you know, that doesn't sound quite right. Well, yeah, you're right. Paul hadn't even been saved yet to be able to write what should have happened. And then, of course, his missionary journeys, it took time. So accept what you read in the book of Acts and sometimes go, that doesn't sound right. You're probably right because they didn't know. We know we have got the corrective lens of times. We have the fullness of the Scriptures. But they did not know this thing coming upon the earth. It's interesting when we think about the mystery. The church age will end with the rapture. Twinkling of an eye, we're going to be caught out of here. It's interesting that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians to the church of Corinth, you don't have this, so please just listen. Behold, you believers in Corinth, I show you a mystery not known before. We, he included himself, shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. And those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior right now, in the twinkling of an eye, if he comes in our lifetime, are going to be changed. We're gone. And it's going to be a time of incredible chaos. Cars will go out of control, airplanes will crash, air traffic controllers will disappear, and on and on and on. We don't know how long the church age is, but this is where we live right now. And so it is, I want to take a few minutes and go over a chart. I'm going to let you do some work tonight. This is really different, okay? We don't do this. But I thought, you know, normally I would do something like this in a specified Sunday school class. But I thought maybe we could enjoy this, and I want you to leave with a chart in your hands so that you can fully appreciate the body, soul, the spirit. On your chart, line number one, the physical body of a man. The physical body. And that body, line two, is created from dust and will go back to dust. Line two, from dust to dust. Number one is the physical body of man. Number two is from dust to dust. As you fill that out, please listen. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. God speaking to Adam and Eve, now that they have taken of the fruit, and he said, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." Number three, we move from the body over to the soul. The soul, line three, is thinking part of man. The thinking part of man. Genesis 2:7, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul." Look at line four, the soul lives forever. Line four, the soul lives forever. Line five, old nature. Line six, new nature. Now what that is referring to there is in the day where we live now in the church, we are born again when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have an old nature that does not go away. We have a new nature now because we are born again. We can either be controlled by the old nature or by the new nature. Therefore, you see there under 5 and 6, which decides? Then we have resulting behavior, line 7, we're going to behave of the flesh. Flesh. Or line 8 is spirit. If you're controlled by the old nature, you're going to do the deeds of the flesh, line 7. If you do the deeds of line 6, the new nature, you're going to live by line 8, the spirit. Take a look at those on your verse sheet. Line 7 talks about the flesh. Galatians 5, 19 to 21. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, also I told you in time past, they which do things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." These are the deeds of the unsaved. That is not saying that if you do these necessarily you are going to hell. Rather, because people have not trusted Christ, this is what they do. And hence, Christian, why are you living like an unsaved person? That's what Paul is saying there. He then says in 5:22, under line 8 that says spirit, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Remember, when he was writing, the law was just coming down. And the age of grace was coming up. And there is confusion because he is writing trying to set this all straight. There's no law against this Spirit. You're not under the law anymore. You're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Line 9, "Therefore renew your mind. We are born dead in trespasses and sin, and our thinking is corrupt." Hence, we need line 9, "Renew your mind." And let me read Ephesians 4:22, "That ye put off." There are certain things Christians ought to put off concerning the former conversation, in other words, your old life before you were saved, the old man, the old nature, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Rather, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that takes application. Verse 24, and put on some new behavior, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So it is, we have the thinking part of man, the soul that lives forever, old nature, new nature. Which one's going to decide for you? Who is going to control your life? The old man and all the deeds that we just read, or the new man, love, joy, peace, etc.? We need to be renewed in our mind. Let's go over to the third block to the right, spirit. Line 10, communes with God. You see, there's a trinity to man, the body, soul, and the spirit. The scriptures have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We have Satan, Antichrist, and the false prophet. We have several trinities in the scriptures. We're looking at the trinity of man. And one of them is the spirit. Line 10, the spirit part of man communes with God. And I want you to think about this. The story in Genesis tells us, Adam, when you eat of the fruit of that tree, you'll die. Now think about it. Eve took of the fruit. Adam took of the fruit. Did they flop over dead? No, their spirit died. That's what died in the Garden of Eden. Line 11, died in the Garden of Eden. Now, that which man has to commune with God. Now, I do believe it brought physical death. I do believe that. The wages of sin is death. I believe it's also spiritual death. The first thing that happened is they died immediately, spiritually speaking. They no longer had that incredible, unbroken relationship with God the Father who walked with them. Now, God had to put a punishment upon them. We can't do this. You're not allowed to be in this garden. I have to keep you from the tree of life, because if you take of that, you're going to stay in your forbidden condition. Genesis 2:16, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest well freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said. And remember, that is still the greatest lie of the devil today. Did God really say that? Pastor, that's your interpretation, or whatever. Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And of course, he tempts her there, you will not die. God knows that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, you shall be as gods. She took of the fruit and gave to her husband. Therefore, line 12, ye must be born again. Line 10, communes with God. Line 11, died in the Garden of Eden. And line 12, must be born again. John 3:3. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That spirit that died in man in the Garden of Eden, and that sin debt has been passed to every person that comes into this world, and it has to be born again. Let's drop down to the lower left corner, line 13. We're now going to talk about the two natures. Old nature, line 13, old nature. We saw a little bit about this under the soul, old nature, new nature, lines 5 and 6. Which is deciding? Which way are you going to make decisions? This now, the bottom three blocks are going to give us more insight to that decision-making process. Are you going to have renewed thinking? Line 13, old nature. Line 14, lust of the eyes, flesh, and pride of life. Line 14, lust of the eyes, flesh, and pride of life. Let me read for you 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. The old nature feasts upon the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and they are not of God. 1 John 2:16. Line 15, Satan. Line 15, Satan. And you see two Bible references under that, John 3, 1-5 and John 10, 10. We've already covered John 3, 1, seeing how the devil tempted Eve. In John 10, 10, Jesus Christ said, "The thief," referring to Satan, "the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. On the contrary, I am come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly." What's going to control your life? The temptation of the devil who wants to destroy you? I want to jump to the right side now, line 27. New nature. New nature, line 27, new nature. So line 13 contrasts with line 27, old nature, new nature. Write small, ready? 28, prayer. 28 is prayer. 29 is faith. 28 is prayer. 29 is faith. 30, hope. 31, love. 31, love. 32, worship. So they are prayer, faith, hope, love, worship. 33, guidance of the Holy Spirit. 33, guidance of the Holy Spirit. 33, guidance of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 tells us about the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Paul writes in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. Remember, as I read those simple verses, Ephesians, Paul is telling the church at Ephesus how to receive and respond to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it was all new. The Holy Spirit came and went in the Old Testament. But in the age of grace, we're sealed with that Holy Spirit, and Paul has to write it down, and there he did in Ephesians. Here's how we are in the church age to respond to that Holy Spirit. Therefore, I want you to consider the left block, old nature, has arrows pointing in, and the right block has arrows also pointing in. These are the two ways that your mind is being attacked. On the left side, it is attacked by the lust of the eyes, the flesh, and the pride of life, and Satan. And on the right side, you have a new nature that is trying to control your mind. You have to decide which one's going to win. Therefore, line 16 is the mind making decisions. And it's being assaulted from the left and from the right. Line 16, the mind making decisions. Line 16, the mind making decisions. And how is your mind going to make decisions? From input. Write small again. Line 17, sight. You're going to get input to make a decision by what your eyes see. 18, sound. Words. 19, touch. That's hot! Your mind made a very quick decision. 17 is sight, 18 is sound, 19 is touch, 20 is taste, and of course 21 is smell. We have what are called the five senses: sight, sound, touch, taste, smell. The input affects also, this is where you're going to get your input from, ready? Line 22, reason. You're going to think it through. Now, wait a minute. Line 22 is reason. How about line 23? Affections. I like that. Or, I don't like that. You will base decisions on your affections. Line 22, reason. Line 23, affections. Line 24, imagination. True or not, you have an imagination. Line 24, imagination. Line 25, memory. Oh, I remember that. That was really painful, or that was really great. Line 26, conscience. God has not done away with our conscience. We can burn it with a hot iron. As you think about those under block 16, the mind-making decision, let us read Galatians 5:16-17. This I say then, Paul has to explain this, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Can I say it differently? Walk in the Spirit, block 27, and you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh, block 13. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other. You cannot do the things you would. Your decision process, where is the battlefield in the Christian life? Your brain. God gave us a book to establish and settle our thinking. He wants our brain to process properly. And your brain is being assaulted by the old nature and by the new nature. And you have to process and make the right decision to serve and to please God. Therefore, do you realize the importance of your thinking? Down at the bottom, there's a little note. Note the importance of thought control. I did not give you all of the verses there, but you sure have one that's very powerful. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart, your innermost thinking and convictions with all diligence. You're going to be assaulted from the left and from the right. Choose to obey the Holy Spirit. Keep thy heart with all diligence, your thinking. Why? Out of it are the issues of life. Your life is absolutely directed and influenced on your thinking. Therefore, you must understand you have got these evil influences under block 13 assaulting your thinking. Do this, do this. No, a believer cannot be possessed, therefore, with the demon possession because he's already sealed by the Holy Spirit. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, and we are sealed and protected. But the devil can influence our thinking by telling us lies. You live along a busy road and people throw garbage in the lawn. You can't help that, but you don't have to let it lay there. The devil is going to throw thoughts in your mind. Old friends are going to come. Hey, come on. And they want you to do the things of the old days. I don't do that. Or you go to the checkout line in the grocery store and you look at the magazine rack, you're defiled right there. But you don't have to let that thought stay there. Move on. Because out of the heart are the issues of life. I hope this simple chart helps you understand the battle. Because the better we understand the battle, the better equipped we are to stand for truth. There's a reason why Paul was moved to the Holy Spirit to write these incredible truths for our understanding. Because God wants us to understand. I want to back up. There is so much in the Bible. There is so much. We can never exhaust it. But I do want us to truly understand the glorious pictures, because as we study Scripture, we find pictures of Jesus Christ throughout. The Old Testament is precious. I call them golden nuggets. You read a story and you go, yeah, it doesn't really make any sense. Good, it's a picture of Christ. Because it doesn't make any sense that God would send His Son to die for sinners. So start to look for a picture of Jesus Christ when it doesn't make sense. that we can be victorious over sin through his shed blood. But I've said it before, and I think it is so pertinent right here as we think about this body, soul, spirit, dispensations, and where it all began. It began in the Garden of Eden. God gave a simple command, don't eat of this fruit. Eve was tempted and fell, and remember, the devil will tempt you to sin, and then he will chastise you when you fall in it. He'll tell you, this is great, you ought to do it, and when you give it, you're a louse. You call yourself a Christian? But get the scene. Adam and Eve are perfect. Temptation in itself is not a sin, but you would do well to flee from it so you don't fall into it. Adam was up. I don't know if he was standing there. It doesn't really say. It kind of implies he was there. But Eve was being tempted of the devil. And she fell and she took the fruit. And we have to stop the clock right there. Because at that moment, Eve was dead in trespasses and sin, and Adam still had perfect fellowship with God. Adam was given a special bride. He looked at all the animals of the world. He named them all. None was found one to be his companion. And now the one taken from his very side is dead in trespasses and sin. And Adam is standing there, and there's the devil, and there's Eve, and there's God the Father. And he looks at God, and he is in perfect harmony. And he looks at Eve, who's now dead in trespasses of sin. And he looks at the Father, and he looks at his wife, bone of my bones. And he loved her so much, he said, give me the fruit. You see, Timothy tells us, Paul wrote to Timothy and told us, Adam was not deceived. Eve was. Adam knew exactly what he was doing. When I take of this, I will lose my fellowship with the Father, but that's how much I love Eve. Should he? Should he not? I'm not going that path. He did. But I know this, he wasn't deceived. But do you see what a picture of Christ that is? He looked down at the potential for a church, people dead in trespasses and sin, and the Father said, go and shed your blood for them. And he gave up his throne in glory. And he came to this earth, born of a virgin as a baby, took on the form of a man. And at 33 years of age, approximately, they cried, crucify him. Why, what has he done? I find no fault in this man. Crucify him! And Pilate washed his hands. And he became the sin of the world. There on that cross, your sin, my sin, pictured so graphically there in the Garden of Eden, Adam, give me the fruit. I will break my fellowship with the Father, because isn't that what Jesus Christ experienced on the cross? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He couldn't look on the Son, because then he was truly the sin of the world. And he died. The perfect one. But good news, the wages of sin is death. Therefore, the grave could not hold him. He had no sin. He rose again triumphant. And God tells us a game plan. And today we live in the church age. Do you want to please God? Then trust Jesus Christ as your Savior apart from any works. And then apply yourself, the thinking part of yourself, to do right. To learn the scriptures, realize those things which please God, and you'll have a victorious Christian life.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.